The Old Testament text is 1 Kings 17, and it's the story of the widow of Zarephath. And now you can kind of see why they put the gospel and the Old Testament together. Probably, you know, this emphasis, the overall emphasis is on who are, first of all, the radical nature of grace. Notice how both of, in their own ways are presented in the New Testament and the Old Testament, as we will see. Who gets it, who doesn't, who's in, who's out, as Jeff said, is turned around from our normal way of thinking, right? Because in the New Testament, all those people who thought they were inside were really outside, and the one thought she was marginalized is really inside, see? So you have that reversal. Same thing here, where the widow is not even of Israel. Elijah goes to enemy territory, so to speak. And again, you know, the overall theme of the concern for the marginalized in society is brought out in both texts as well, see? So the church's, you know, so a kind of a sideline is the church's responsibility. Hey, who do we care for? Who's really our neighbor? How do we show love to our neighbor? Our important themes in our materialistic, individualistic, hedonistic culture to be emphasized. You know, it's kind of I wouldn't say it's a minor theme by any chance, but it's a important part of the connection between these two texts. So this is the famous story. Again, it's 1 Kings 17, and it's verses 8 through 16, all right? So remember, Elijah has come onto the scene in the first seven verses. He's kind of introduced with little fanfare, and because of the idolatry of Israel, God says through him that it's not going to rain, no rain or dew for 3 years, remember? And he then is taken care of by the brook, remember? He's supposed to go to the brook, Cherith, and he's fed by ravens. And then after a while, that brook dries up, and that's where we see him in verse 8. So, Vayahi Devar Yahweh Elav Lemor. The word of the Lord was to him, saying, Kum lake. All right, so again, just two imperatives there. Get up, go. Kum lake, from halak is the second imperative. Tzar fata. So get up, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, which belongs to Sidon. And again, Zarephath was a village evidently between Tyre and Sidon, so on the Mediterranean coast. So remember, he was going through Israel to territory outside of Israel. All right. Ve'yashav to Sham, and dwell there. So notice you have two imperatives followed by a vav plus second person perfect verb. Very common when you have strings of imperatives to have this kind of construction. Okay, and dwell there. Hine ziviti sham ish almana. Look, I have appointed. Notice this is from zava, a PL form. First common singular, look, I have appointed there an isha almana, a widow woman, lekal keleka. This is from the root cool, and it is a pilpel. Don't worry about it. Don't lose any sleep over it. From the root cool, it means to nourish. It's an infinitive construct. It was used earlier in this text as well. So I've appointed there a widow woman to take care of you, to nourish you. All right. So verse 10, Elijah obeys. Vayakom vayelek. So he got up and went to Zarephath. Again, you have two call imperfect vav consecutives there. Vayavo, and he came to the Petach Ha'ir. He came to the gate of the city. All right. Vehine, and remember, hine functions to indicate something that you see visually, usually. Or it can also be mentally, but much more often it's visual perception. And then something maybe unusual or unexpected or surprising. And so you get that a couple times in this text. So he came to the gate of the city, Vehine, and look, Shamisha. There was a woman, an almana, there was a widow woman, Meko Sheshet Eitzim, gathering wood. That Meko Sheshet is from the root Kashash, and it means to gather. All right, this is a, if you're interested, this is a polale participle feminine singular, very rare form. There is a widow woman gathering etzim, gathering sticks. Okay. Va yikra eleha, and he called to her, Vayomar, and he said, Kechina. Okay, that kechi is just an imperative from lakach, feminine singular imperative, call. And na is a particle of politeness. He's being polite and deferential here. And he uses this a couple times with his imperative. So notice that the author is quick to show that Elijah wasn't making a kind of a command or a demand, but more of a polite request. So we translate, please get a me'at mime. So please get a little water, ba'keli, in the vessel, va'eshtes, so that I might drink. That's from Shatta, again, a call imperfect, okay? Verse 11, va'yelek, so she went, lakachat, to get it. This is a call infinitive construct, again, from lakach. So she went to get it. Va'yikra eleha, and he called to her, va'yomar, and he said, likhina, please get me. Again, notice the na. Again, another imperative, feminine singular. So please get for me, li, a pot lechem beyadei. A bit, pot means just a bit. Get me a bit of food, lechem beyadei, in your hand. So as long as you're getting the water, get me some bread or just a bit of food. Okay? Verse 12, Vatomer, and she said. Now notice here you have Chai Yahweh. Chai Yahweh is a very, very idiomatic, it's kind of an exclamatory formula in an oath. So it's normally translated by the life of Yahweh. Or is Yahweh your God? Notice how she says it. It's not my God, but Chai Yahweh Eloheka. As your God lives, as Yahweh your God lives, im yesh li. Now in oaths like this, im means surely not. Okay? So as Yahweh lives, surely there is not to me ma'og. Ma'og is, it's victuals. It's ingredients, you know, for food. So surely there is not to me ma'og. We would probably say food or something like that. Or more idiomatically, I surely have no food, ma'og. Okay. Ki'im, except, ki'im, melo kaf kemach. Melo is just a noun that means fullness. Except the fullness of a handful, a palm of kemach, oil, ba kad, in the jar. Okay? So, I'm sorry, kemach is flour. So, there is not to me any victuals. Except the fullness, you know, a full hand of flour in the jar. That's how I would probably translate it. And a little oil in the tzafachat, in the jug. All right, so he has just a little oil, handful of flour. Ve'hinani mekosheshet shenayim eitzim. And look, I, this is hine plus first common singular suffix. And look, I am mekosheshet, I'm gathering shenayim, that's two. All right, but we would probably say, I'm gathering a couple of sticks, eitzim, okay? Uvati, and I will go, that's from bo, and asitihu, and I will make. This is from asa, again, just a call, vav plus perfect, plus third masculine singular suffix. So I'm gathering a couple of sticks, and I will go, and I will make it for myself and for Bani, for my son. Okay, va. Akal nuhu, va akal nuhu, and we will eat it. Okay, va matnu, and we will die. That's again from moot. So these are all vav plus perfects. All right, so that's what she plans to do. Now here comes the word from the prophet. Vayomer eleha, and he said to her, Eliyahu, and Elijah said to her, look at this great thing here. Al tira. Tier E, do not be afraid. This is from Yareh. Okay, now notice that it's a negative command. Okay, Elijah said, do not fear. Okay, Bo'i Asi, these are two imperatives. This is from Bo, and they're both feminine singulars, and the other one's from Asa. Go do kidvarei, go do according to your word. Ak. Asi li misham uga ketana barishona. Okay. But make for me from there an uga, a cake, a ketana, a small cake, Ba-rishona. Rishona is an adjective which means first. When you put a bait in front of it, it's adverbially. So, but go make for me a small cake first. Okay? Ve-hotzeit, and then, this is a hifil from Yatzah. Yatzah means to go out, so the hifil would mean to bring out. And this is a second feminine singular. So make the cake for me first, then bring it, li, to me. Okay? Velak, and for you, velivnek, and for your son, you should make, ta'asi. This is again a call, imperfect from asa. You should make something, and then you have to understand the object. Make something ba'acharona, next or second. All right? So notice what he's saying there. He knows he only has enough for her and her son. And he said, don't be afraid. Go do according to your word. But make for me from there a small cake first and bring it to me. And for you and your son, you should make something next. Okay, now here's the word from the prophet. This is a key verse, I think, in this pericope. Ki ko amar Yahweh Elohei Israel. For thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel. Kad ha kemach lo tikla. The jar of flour, lo tikla, will not come to an end. This is from kala, to end or to finish. Vedzapachat, and the jug of shemen, oil, and the jug of shemen, lo tichsar, will not fail. Again, that's just a call imperfect from chasar, to be lacking or to fail. You could translate it, the jug of oil will not fail. Ad yom, until the day Yahweh gives. The pointing here tells you that the Masoretes wants you to take this tatan, this as a infinitive construct from natan, okay, to give. So until the day and Yahweh's the subject, until the day Yahweh gives geshem, rain, on the pnei ha'adama, on the surface of the land. Okay? Vatelek. So she went. Vata'aseh, and she did. Kidvar Eliyahu, according to the word of Yahweh. Vatokal, and she ate. She and he, or he and she, depending on how you want to, if you notice there's, whether that's a vav or a yud in each one, there's different traditions here. So I think it's referring to her and her son. So she ate, she and he, I'm sorry, I think it's referring to her and Elijah. And then her house, Beta, that includes her son. Yamim, days. So that, in other words, when Hebrew wants to say for a long time or for a while, it sometimes just uses yamim, days. So again, she went and she made it, according to the word of Elijah. And she ate, that namely, he and she, and her house, for days, for a while. Okay? Kad ha kemach, the jar of flour, lo kalata, did not end. And the tzafachat hashemen, and the jar of oil, lo chaser, did not lack. According to the word of Yahweh, which deber, he spoke by the hand of, or through, Eliyahu, Elijah. All right? So notice here you have, first of all, remember that by bringing a famine in the land, Baal was the one that was being undercut, because Baal was the god of fertility. And that was the, you know, remember Ahab and Jezebel had brought this syncretistic worship into Israel. And so by not causing it to rain for 3 years, it was Baal's power that was being questioned and threatened by Yahweh. All right? So here you have Yahweh bringing the bounties of fertility to a woman who was not even part of Israel. And remember, in the New Testament, there is that reference. Jesus said, hey, in those days, it didn't rain, and yet it was not the widows of Israel that God came to, but this foreign widow. So again, the scandal of God's grace, he brings it where he wants. And notice again, his power over and against the impotence of Baal, of other gods, of trusting in them, is kind of highlighted here. So notice the kingdom of God becomes manifest to this woman. The kingdom that was hidden and seemed so far away for a moment surfaced in this household by the word of Yahweh. So that's one thing I think that's important here, that what was visible became visible for this woman. The future, so to speak, invaded the present in this woman's life, in this miracle, all right? Notice also the power of the word of God to restore. Here Elijah spoke God's word, and the woman trusted in that word. Even though everything looked hopeless, even though everything looked like she shouldn't trust that word, that's what she trusted. And I think as far as a sermon, that's kind of another direction for the sermon. What we have before us is the word of God that promises us grace, promises us entrance into the kingdom as well. You also here have a foretaste of the blessing. Remember when God made a covenant with Abraham, we all tend to forget this, through you all nations of the earth will be blessed. And so you have a foretaste of that in this text as well, already coming to pass, which has its full fruit, obviously, you know, in the church, and finally the gathering of, you know, of his people from all nations and races at the end of time. So no barrier is too strong for Yahweh. And that reminds us once again of, you know, his grace is not something, quotes, we deserve. It comes where and when he wants it to, all right? So I think a couple great texts here that you can either put together in a sermon or, you know, either one can bring out some very strong themes here. Okay?
Can we associate yes. Dunbar with grace, or is it just...
Well, notice that this... I think that here you have the promise that God made through Elijah. Here's the promise. Do not fear, the oil and the flour will not run out. That was the word that she clung to. So she took... So notice what she did. I mean, the text is very sparse. It doesn't say she questioned. She just took Elijah at his word. She trusted the word of this prophet, the mouthpiece of God, and this word did not let her down. See, even though the human circumstances would say, don't believe this guy, hasn't ran for 3 years, he just wants a free meal.
Yeah,
see?
Well, Elijah says, you know, well, the Greek says, take courage, do not fear.
Yes, do not fear.
Just do the word.
Yeah.
Do according to the word.
The text here is do according to your word. In other words, do what you said you were going to do. Yeah. Go make this for your son. Only make me a little bit first, and then make for yourself second. And then he follows with that next. That's why I said that's a key verse, because he follows with this promise that the oil and the flour won't run out.
Jesus made an excursus to Tyre and Sidon in that same region, mm-hmm. didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Right. So it's a, I don't know, that probably would have made a more clear parallel, but I don't know,
these things come to
right,
mind.
No, it's true. I don't know why they picked that particular gospel lesson. I guess they wanted to, I don't know.
Well, they're comparing widows, poor widows,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, there's a lot of texts you could use, but yeah. There is more direct parallels, but we'll leave it at that.